This is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is sponsored in part by TripInsurance.com, making it easy to buy travel insurance at the best available price. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. This week, we get a review of Princess Cruises' new ship, Sky Princess, just launched like a month ago. Yeah, about that. Also, Sherry is here with Cruise News. And as always, don't forget about Cruise Radio News, our daily quick hits of the news, Monday through Friday. Find it where you listen to your favorite podcast. Just search Cruise Radio News. All right, Sherry Laskin is here with Cruise News. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Doug.
So Royal Caribbean had to cancel five upcoming cruises.
Yes, so guests booked on five sailings of Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas from Galveston were notified that their cruises have been canceled. So sorry, Valentine Cruisers, because the first of the canceled sailings begins on February 14th. 2021. Royal Caribbean stated that the reason for the five cancellations is because the scheduled dry dock for Liberty of the Seas will take longer than initially anticipated. But the good news is that the impacted sailings are still a long way off, and this should give booked passengers enough time to find an alternative cruise. So if your sailing was one of the five that was canceled, and if you rebook aboard either the Liberty of the Seas or the Jewel of the Seas, Royal Caribbean will honor your original stateroom category at the same rate. That won't include fees, taxes, or gratuities, however. But those that do this will receive an onboard credit of $200, whether you've booked an interior, ocean view, or a balcony stateroom. And those who rebook their suite will receive a $400 onboard credit. Now, the other option you can choose is to book any other Royal Caribbean cruise, and you'll receive the same onboard credit plus an additional $50 for each third or fourth passenger. If you decide to cancel, you will get a full refund, and of course, but be warned, if Royal Caribbean doesn't get your new reservation or cancellation request by January 22nd, the reservation will automatically be canceled without compensation or refund.
Well, that sounds fair.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want you to just, you know, slack off on this. Yeah. They want to know if you want to rebook.
Yeah.
Both passengers and travel agents were notified of these cancellations.
And speaking of cancellations, Holland America also axed a cruise.
Yeah, they did. So Holland America just announced they have canceled the February 1, 2020. So this is just a couple weeks out. The sailing of the New Amsterdam. The ship will be going into dry dock for repairs. New Amsterdam, the ship has had trouble with one of their Azipod engines, and this happened again last month, so Holland America has decided it's time for repair. The Caribbean cruise is canceled, and the ship will instead just head for the shipyard at Grand Bahama Island. So, what can you do if you're booked on this cruise? Well, you can switch to any other 2020 winter or spring seven-night Caribbean or Mexican cruise in the same stateroom category, and you'll receive a future cruise credit equal to 100% of the cruise fare paid to use on another future voyage. Now, if you want a different destination, you can have that amount that you paid applied to a brand new booking, but your future cruise credit will be 50% of the cruise fare paid. And at this time, there's no change announced to the February 8th departure, which is also round trip from Fort Lauderdale.
Well, it's only going to Freeport, so get the Freeport, switch that Azipod out, come back to Port Everglades, and start sailing again.
One would think.
Yeah.
And yeah, one would hope, especially if you're on that February 8th departure.
You got that right. You better have travel insurance. Yeah. So Carnival Corporation has donated a lot of money to the Australian wildfires.
Yeah, they have. So Carnival Corporation and the Arison Family Foundation have pledged to support disaster recovery efforts from the devastating fires in Australia. Both organizations have pledged that they will donate a total of $1.25 million. The source of the funds is broken down into $1 million from the Mickey and Madeline Arison Family Foundation and $250,000 from the Carnival Foundation and five of the company's brands. So they're pitching in. You know, they have a lot of ships in Australia, a couple are year-round. So, you know, it behooves them, you know, just to give back what they're taking.
Well, and also I read, this is also a pretty cool thing too. Guests on Carnival Splendor and Carnival Spirit. So both of those ships are sailing from Australia right now. Their cruise directors on both ships, they dressed up in a ball gown and went down the water slide, and they were trying to raise money to do this. So you would donate to watch the cruise director actually do it. And between the two ships, they raised over $15,000 in additional money to donate to Australia. So I think that's cool that not only Carnival Corporation and the Aristons are stepping up, but also the guests on board the ships are doing it too.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's so horrible that, you know, if I was cruising down in that area too, how could you not give something back? Here you are in a luxury, on a ship, which is luxury to some people, and not give something, not donate something. So I'm glad to hear it. That's good for them.
It's heartbreaking. All those animals that have, like over a billion at this point, they're saying is so just insane.
That's
our final story here,
amount.
Sherry, and we don't see this that often, but Carnival announced they're doing two transatlantic cruises for 2021.
Yeah, and this is kind of interesting. So Carnival Cruise Line just announced that the Carnival Valor will depart from New Orleans on a 15-night transatlantic crossing to Barcelona. The departure date is set for, get this, Monday, January 25, 2021. So the first stop on the winter crossing after six sea days in the Atlantic in winter will be in Bermuda. And we'll have a port call there from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then there'll be five sea days. The next stop will be Funchal, Madeira for a full day in port, a sea day, and then on to Malaga, Spain, and Valencia, Spain, followed by arriving into Barcelona. And then the 17-day dry dock will begin. If you'd rather cruise westbound, and the weather's not going to be any better, the Carnival Valor returns to New Orleans on February 26th. It will depart from Barcelona. And ports on the return voyage include Cartagena, Malaga, and Funchal. But here's with a little kind of a neat little thing. So after the crossing, the ship, the Carnival Valor, will head to St. Martin and San Juan before returning to New Orleans. And if you're just curious what's going on in New Orleans, the Valor does 4- and 5-night sailings. The 4-night sailing goes to Cozumel. The 5-night sailing adds Progreso, Mexico, which is located on the Yucatan Peninsula. And just a little side note, if you're wondering why Carnival Valor is going to Europe rather than the Bahamas for its dry dock, if you think back, last April, there was a crane accident and when the Oasis of the Seas was in dry dock in Grand Bahamas. We were just talking about that, you know, with the repairs and they had to close the shipyard. So the dry docks have become backlogged. So now ships are heading over to Europe in the most extreme months rather than being able to go to the Bahamas.
Have you ever sailed the transatlantic in the wintertime?
I did. I did in December, but you know, it was on Queen Mary too. And it was hilarious. I was a nervous wreck for the first couple of days. I mean, we're locked inside. You couldn't go out. You couldn't go on deck. And I would head down to deck 3, which is almost at the water level. And no kidding, sitting in the pub, the waves would totally cover the windows. You couldn't see anything. And then when the waves finally cleared, all you could see was a blizzard, and it was horizontal snow for 3 full days. So,
wow. I like that. It's like you're in a washing machine.
It was like being in a washing machine. And then all of a sudden the skies cleared. It was still, you know, below freezing outside, but everybody was outdoors. And, you know, a lot of the people on Queen Mary 2 are Brits, and they are just hearty. They're used to walking in, you know, outside in rain and snow and sleet. Right. They were making their laps. They were doing laps around the ship. It was like I could barely walk outside.
Listener question comes from Michael. We are going on a celebrity cruise from San Diego to Vancouver in March, and we were wondering about any possible excursions in Los Angeles. We'll be docked at the LA World Cruise Center in San Pedro from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm wondering why celebrities going north to Vancouver in March. That's kind of interesting, but yeah, you know, there's a good handful of shore excursions that you can do from San Pedro Port. And of course, as you and I know, you can take a tour of the Queen Mary, the old Queen Mary that's docked there. And that's, I think that's a great way to spend the afternoon touring the ship, doing the ghost tour, having lunch. But if that's not your thing, you can head over to the Aquarium of the Pacific. You can always catch a ride out to Venice Beach, which is pretty colorful. And right there at San Pedro Port, which is, I found this really interesting is the battleship Iowa. So it's right there, and you pull in almost right, it's like right in front of you. Another interesting thing to do, you can go for a gondola ride in Long Beach. So it turns out that Long Beach, California, and its Naples Islands are sister cities to Venice. So, you know, it just makes sense. So now you have gondola rides in a little area of Long Beach called Little Italy. So you can find all that information out online. Your cruise line, I'm sure, will offer it, offer many of these as an excursion for the day. But those are the ones that, Doug and I are familiar with. So that's why we're just mentioning them.
So while you were talking, Sherry, I was looking up this itinerary, and it looks like this ship is actually going up to Vancouver via LA and then going over to do a cruise to Hawaii and then back to Vancouver in order to kick off the 2020 Alaska season.
Yeah, they're starting earlier this year up here. Sitka's expecting their first ship. I should know the exact date, but I don't. But it is early in the season. And it's chilly up here. So, you know, dress appropriately. And crossing over to Hawaii in March could be a challenge. We all do it. And like you said earlier, you know, it's fun when it's like a washing machine, as long as you don't get seasick.
You keep talking about this washing machine. Have you ever actually been inside one?
You mentioned it first. And no, I haven't. Thank you very much. Although I do watch them from the outside when they have a little glass. It's like a porthole, right?
Yes.
Into a washing machine.
It's a virtual cruise. We've been talking with Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Doug.
Check out our blog, the video page, and interact at cruiseradio.net.
When is your next cruise? Where are you going? And what are you going to do once you get there? Market-leading specialist CruisingExcursions.com offers savings up to 60% off shore excursions versus cruise line prices. Whether it's private, shared, scenic, historic, or family tours, CruisingExcursions.com has up to 12,000 excursions in over 700 ports worldwide, like Rome, Vatican City, St. Petersburg, Sydney, and Jamaica, just to name a few. You can even bundle your excursions for more savings. Make your next vacation affordable and unforgettable by visiting cruisingexcursions.com.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
If you have an Amazon Alexa-enabled device, ask her to enable the Cruise Radio News skill so you can get daily updates anytime, straight from Cruise Radio.
Kristen and Scott just returned from a three-night inaugural cruise on Princess Cruises, Sky Princess, and Kristen joins us on the line. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Doug.
So I'm excited to talk about Sky Princess because we're kind of crossing each other on the gangway. You were getting off and I was getting on for the day for the christening ceremony. So before we talk all about this ship, let's get some pre-cruise thoughts. Why did you want to sail this inaugural on Sky Princess?
Well, we've really enjoyed the Royal class ships. We've been on both Royal Princess and Regal Princess. So when we saw the opportunity for a three-day cruise out of Fort Lauderdale on Sky Princess, we figured out we could squeeze that into the vacation plans for 2019. And so that's why we booked it.
Did this have anything to do with building loyalty with Princess, or was this strictly a new ship, I want to sail it?
Oh, that absolutely played into it, for sure. We did two short cruises, as you know, earlier this year, three-night and a one-night. And so, yeah, so this was yet another step toward reaching elite status on Princess.
And you make your way down from St. Louis down to Port Everglades. Any pre-cruise time?
Yes, we always fly in a day early. We stayed at the new Fairfield Inn and Suites by Las Olas. Enjoyed that. Then the next day, of course, boarded Sky Princess.
Just curious, Uber costs from the airport to your hotel and then from your hotel to the port.
We took Lyft. It cost us about $15 to go from the airport to the hotel. And then we used Lyft again to get to the port. And that was about $9.
Now, let's talk about the embarkation process, because Sky Princess is the first Princess ship that was built from the keel up with the medallion program, or medallion class, I guess they're calling it. So how was the embarkation using the medallion and the ocean medallion? And actually, before we get to embarkation, is it kind of like Disney where they send you your stuff in advance?
Yes, that's correct. So we got our medallions, I think about, I want to say about a week to 2 weeks, maybe about 2 weeks out, after you go through the whole check-in online on the website, enter in all your information about your documentation, et cetera, then they'll send the medallions out. So yeah, similar to how you get your magic bands for Disney in advance. So we had our medallions with us when we arrived at Terminal 2 in Port Everglades. And the medallion technology really just totally streamlines everything with check-in. They had several people there with basically like iPad kiosks, and we just went up, tapped our medallion, showed us our passport, and that was it. It was that part of the embarkation process was extremely efficient.
And from curb to ship, how long would you say?
Well, that was a little bit slower than we had hoped. So we had arrived to the terminal about 10:30, and we got to through security and through the check-in with the medallions in about 15 minutes. And then we were in the priority embarkation lounge area by that point in time. However, the prior cruise, because of course this was supposed to have been the first inaugural cruise out of Fort Lauderdale. Originally, the ship was going to do its transatlantic, arrive in Fort Lauderdale on the 1st, and then it was going to have, we presume, a couple media days, media events. Maybe the christening was supposed to have happened then. I'm not really sure. But then the first cruise leaving Fort Lauderdale was supposed to be our cruise on the 4th. Well, along the way, Princess decided to throw in another inaugural cruise right ahead of us. So there was a cruise actually that left on the 1st and arrived back on the 4th. There were a lot of folks that chose to do back-to-backs. And clearing those in-transit passengers from the 1st took quite a long time. Apparently, some of them were not able to be found on the ship. So they some people dawdled, I guess. And so we actually didn't get to start boarding our cruise until about 11:45. So normally, you know, from past experience in boarding Port Everglades, we'd be starting boarding 11:15. Mm-hmm. So we got a little delayed waiting for those straggler in transit folks to get to get processed and back on the ship before we could start boarding.
I wonder why they added that extra cruise. I wonder if it was like to beef those Q4 numbers up for Carnival Corporation.
You know, I don't know. There was a lot of speculation on the roll call boards about, you know, that cruise. A lot of people were, you know, kind of ticked off at the fact, mm-hmm. you know, we were supposed to be the inaugural, so we ended up being the second inaugural, because they kept calling our cruise still an inaugural when you looked at it on the website booking, even though yeah. it wasn't technically the inaugural anymore. You put one ahead of us, but whatever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so, you know, unfortunately we couldn't add on. We didn't have the vacation days to mm-hmm. tack on that cruise on top of this one. So, oh well.
So you go to embark Sky Princess. What deck did you embark on, and what were your impressions of this brand new ship?
We came in on Fiesta deck, deck 6, and you come right into the piazza area. The piazza was very similar in styling and decor to the piazza area on the other Royal Class ships that we've been on. So it's quite beautiful. What was definitely, though, as we moved out of the piazza area and into other sections of the ship, both public space and certainly when you got into the stateroom areas, is that with this ship, there has been a very welcome refreshing of the color palette that Princess is using. Not all the beige, the beige of the past Princess ships is gone. And now you saw more taupes and gray, teal and blue. It really, I felt, modernized it more in the styling perhaps of what we've seen on recent Celebrity ships or even MSC. And it was a welcome, for us, we thought it was a really a welcome refreshing of the color palette.
Very good. So you make your way to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you book, and what did you think of it?
So we tried a couple different things with this cruise. One is we wanted to stay on the Lido deck. We'd never been on the Lido deck before and wanted to see if that was a good choice in terms of being close to things like the buffet or the pool area. The other thing that we did with this cabin is we booked a forward-facing mini suite. So our deck was two decks above the bridge, and we looked out at the very front of the ship. And we've been forward, but not as far forward as you can possibly be on a ship. And when you walked into the room was oriented horizontally. And what that meant is that the balcony for this mini suite was absolutely gigantic because it was the full width of the room. You literally could probably have had at least 10 people on our balcony and still had room. It was that big. Now, you know, this cruise, the cabin, we loved it. We absolutely loved it. It's probably one of our favorite cabins that we've ever had. It was very spacious. Like I said, because of the orientation of it, you couldn't beat the space on the balcony. We of course had absolutely picture perfect weather for this three days. So the seas were just like glass, no wave action whatsoever. At most, maybe a little bit of a gentle breeze, certainly nothing significant. That's for some people who are either more sensitive to motion, obviously, or sometimes, you know, if there's a lot of wind on the cruise, people have felt like they couldn't really, you know, make a lot of use of the balcony because of the forward facing nature of it. It worked out fantastic for us and the weather that we had. So we very much enjoyed the cabin, and we really liked being on the Lido deck. You know, normally when we book cabins, we're always very careful to make sure that we're picking cabins that are above us and below us are all staterooms, you know, no public, you know, deck areas to avoid, you know, possibility of noise, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was a little, you know, I was not sure how the Lido deck would work out right. But because the section of the cabins on the Lido deck, basically the only reason you'd be in that section at the very front is if you had a cabin in that section. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have like random people, you know, traffic in the, you know, outside your stateroom, just as people were, you know, transiting to and from, right? Yeah. So it really was super, super quiet in that section.
Very good. Let's talk about dining on this cruise, and we'll start at the Horizon Court, which is their buffet.
Well, actually, on this ship, the buffet has been renamed, and it's now called the World Fresh Marketplace. And it's definitely a top quality buffet. You have a lot of different choices, a lot of different options from a nationality perspective in terms of the types of cuisine that's offered. All kinds of, you know, choices with regards to salads and all, you know, more healthy choices available than maybe on a standard buffet. Of course, there's a whole dedicated section that's just for pastries and yummy desserts. So it's definitely a step above the, for sure, a big step above the old Horizon Court, both in terms of the quality of the food, the quantity or the offerings, the type of choices you have, and just it's a lot larger, and so it's very easy to find a seat.
You know, I was really impressed too because, you know, I really have, I think, Regal and Royal Princess to compare this class of ship to, but I felt like there was more selection. Like you can get, like I had a sampling for my lunch, so I did like the taco bar, I did the pasta bar, I did the meat carving station, the salad bar. Well, I really sound like a pig here. And then I spent a little bit of time in the pastry section, and I really do love how they have that dedicated kind of right dead smack in the middle of the buffet, a wide open pastry shop with them pumping out fresh pastries, fresh desserts. You have your bread pudding in there. And it was just, yeah, it was just such a good experience dining in there compared to the other ones. Let's talk about the outside, because there's sliced pizza and something else on the deck out there.
Your other options available to you on the Lido deck are Slice Pizzeria. So You can get either margarita or pepperoni flavors of pizza, and of course, it's the classic Princess Pizza, which has a well-deserved reputation for being one of the best, if not the best, at sea. But in addition, the Slice Pizzeria has also added some additional items. So you can get what they call a pizza boat. So it's sort of like a half of a calzone, if you will. They have a couple different toasts. So you can get a caprese toast, you can get an avocado toast, and then I think they also had a stromboli sandwich as well. So they have some additional dining option or some other food options besides pizza. And then this ship has the Salty Dog Grill. So you can get hamburgers, hot dogs, they do street tacos, fries, loaded fries. And this is where the one item that is an upcharge, it's $5, you can get the Ernesto Burger. So on some of the other Princess ships, there's the Salty Dog Gastropub. And that one of the items that's probably the most popular item from that is the Ernesto Burger. So we don't have a gastro pub on Sky Princess, but they did bring that one item over for the Salty Dog Grill. So you can get that. And Scott had that before when we sailed Ruby Princess. I had not tried it. So on this cruise, that was one of the things I wanted to try. And it was good.
And good. How about the main dining room?
So we ate in the main dining room once. We do anytime dining. We were in the Estrella dining room. This was on the second day of the cruise. And it was the gala night. Now, we didn't have, this was with a three-night cruise. It's always smart casual, no formal nights, of course. But they want to deny you the opportunity for having lobster in the dining room. So the gala dinner menu was offered, and that's where you can get the broiled lobster tail. So we decided that was a good night to go to the dining room. We enjoyed everything that we had. There were some newer items from an appetizer perspective and a dessert perspective that I had not had before on past cruises. And then some familiar favorites as well. We thought we had good service. We had random people that we sat with, and we all had a fantastic, fun evening. So yeah, it was a really good meal in the dining room.
All right, very nice. Let's talk about the specialty restaurants. I know that you were only on for three nights, but were you able to squeeze any in?
We did. So first of all, when we got on board, what's become our new tradition is to dine at Alfredo's Pizzeria. Now that actually is a complimentary dining option, and you can get additional different types of flavors of pizza besides the two, you can get the two flavors that you can get up on the pool deck, but there's about six or seven additional flavors of pizza that you can choose from. There's also salads that you can get there. We always like to get the little veal pasta pockets, which are just divine. Love those. So that was what we did actually on embarkation day for lunch. And then we had not since we have not sailed Majestic, this was our first opportunity to try the Bistro Sur la Mer restaurant, specialty dining restaurant. So there's a couple different options you can do with that. Of course, you can do a dinner option, but we had heard from friends of ours who had been on the transatlantic cruise that they also would offer a brunch option on at least some sea days. And so that's what we decided to do. It's a little cheaper. It's only $19 cover charge as opposed to, I think it's $29 for dinner. And so that's what we decided to do on our sea day is do the brunch. The food was outstanding. We were quite stuffed at the end of brunch. This specialty restaurant is really out in the open in the piazza. It's not an enclosed dining area like, is for example, Sabatini's, the Italian restaurant on board, is in a completely enclosed room. Sur la Mer just sits right off of the piazza atrium. So literally people are walking by, especially if you have a table right towards the outside. So you've got the music, the background, I don't know, classical French, whatever music that's being played in the restaurant. And then that's competing against whatever the heck music's going on in the piazza. Yeah. So it's kind of jarring. So if, you know, the recommendation is, you know, try to be try to either go for the, if the weather's nice, go for the outside dining, or at least try to get yourself at a table that's as close to the windows and as far away from the piazza as you possibly can, if you want to try to somewhat minimize that kind of ambient noise that's coming from the piazza. So that's, I don't know, that's a little strange. I feel like if you're going to have a specialty dining restaurant with an upcharge, it should be in an area that's contained, yeah. I guess.
All right, let's talk about the entertainment on Sky Princess. What did you think?
We were, of course, excited to have a couple new production shows to see, and there are two new ones that have debuted on Sky Princess. So the first night we saw the production show called Rock Opera, and this is really, I mean, it's basically a collection of show tunes. They were pretty heavy on The Greatest Showman, so if you're a big fan of songs from that, there was, I think, at least three that were done from that movie. 80s songs, some other classic rock. There was at least one, I think, one opera tune, and the feature with this is that the featured entertainer that joined on board Singers and Dancers was Brian Justin Crum. So those of you who are fans of America's Got Talent, you will recognize him from that show. And so he was the featured singer. So it was, you know, a show that's put together of a variety of songs, not really much of a plot, but it was, you know, good, nice. It was entertaining. Enjoyed it. So that was good. Then the second night, we got to go to the brand new, I think literally our cruise, I think may have been the first cruise that they offered, the Jim Henson inspired silliness puppet show. So this is an exclusive thing that Princess has collaborated with Jim Henson. And this show is done in the back of the ship in the Vista Lounge. So it's not done in the Princess Theater. It's done in the back in the Vista Lounge. And it's a show that they show different TV clips, and it's really to talk kind of the history, really, of how Jim Henson's career progressed and the types of puppet work that he did and how that progressed over time. And so you would see different, they have little segments, you know, here was puppets that were on maybe the Tonight Show or daytime talk shows or something like that. And so they would have these little video segments, and then they would have the, as an intro to then seeing those puppet skits live performed. And some of these apparently have not been performed live, I guess, in many, many years. So it was a lot of fun. And they actually integrated some of the Princess singers and dancers. And I wasn't expecting that some of those folks are actually part of the show and interact with the puppeteers. It was cute. I really liked it. I hope that it'll be well received by Princess passengers, because I think it's really something interesting and unique. And then we also did stargazing that night. So Princess has partnered with Discovery for several different, you know, I think they sponsor different ship excursions and other things. Well, one of the things that they partnered with them is to do a stargazing program. So you go all the way up to the very, very top where the little mini putt-putt course is, and you have headsets on, and it takes you through, you know, pointing out different constellations. And we were pretty good. We had a few points in the show where there were some passing clouds that obscured things. But, you know, they actually do, in that section of the ship where we were at, they actually do kill the lights. So it's really dark out there and makes for great stargazing if the clouds cooperate. And then on the last night was the brand new, again, I think, yeah, it was actually the first night that the show had been offered on Sky Princess. So it hadn't been on any of the little of the earlier European cruises or the transatlantic. And it's called Five Skies. It's kind of hard to describe. I'd say that it's really a production show that draws upon concepts of gaming and virtual reality. You know, I have to applaud Princess for kind of taking a risk there, because it's really, I think, targeting a younger demographic. I'm not sure that boomers and older cruisers will be as enamored with the show, because, like I said, it really draws heavily on virtual reality and gaming concepts. Lot of great technology, as you would expect in the show. Really awesome costumes. So glad I've seen it. Don't know that I'd really, you know, try to necessarily go see it again. But, you know, kudos to Princess for kind of stepping out of the norm and taking a little bit of a risk on something. So, yeah, so that was all the entertainment that we managed to cram in 3 days.
What kind of music can be found in and around the atrium at night?
They had an acoustic guitar player. We heard a little bit of him playing when we got on the ship.
Yeah, so as far as the sea days, how were they with crowds and congestion?
We had one sea day, and, you know, when we walked around, I saw there were, you know, plenty of loungers whenever we walked through. It didn't, again, not sure. I'm not sure that our cruise, how completely full it was, so that possibly could have played a part in it. But it did seem one of the things that is, again, and a change in this ship compared to the previous ones is the whole main pool area has been redesigned. So the first couple Royal Class ships, the main pool areas actually had fountains in them. So they would do like nighttime water shows. Nice idea, but people really want their pool space. And you couldn't really use those areas during the daytime as regular pool areas. And so they completely ditched that for this. And they put in more hot tubs as well and bigger and usable pool space. And again, with lounger space, you know, to go with that. So we didn't see that there was a big problem trying to find a pool deck lounger, which, you know, that was good.
So on this 3-night cruise, you just hit one port, which was really Princess Cruises' private destination on the southern tip of Eleuthera called Princess Cay. How was your day there?
It was nice. We had good weather. Actually, the cruise before, apparently it had been quite choppy wave-wise, and they actually weren't able to port there because it's a tender port. So that's a factor, you know, with weather, of course. But, you know, we have, of course, had picture-perfect weather. So that was good. We decided to kind of let the mad rush for the tenders get finished. So because we had bought voyage-long pass to the thermal suite on board, which is called the Enclave. And so we decided to start our morning with a little time in the Enclave, and then, like I said, let all the rush for the tenders to get onto the island get past. And so we actually didn't try to go to get a tender ticket until about 10:30, and then we were on the island by about 11 or so. Again, you know, no problems finding a lounger in the shade if you wanted. I think, you know, there were probably a fair number of people that chose to stay on board, probably, which, you know, and again, I don't know that we were 100% sailing full. Definitely, you could tell the island had been impacted pretty hard from the hurricanes. And what I mean by that is the actual beach itself. Mm-hmm. You could tell there had been quite a bit of sand erosion. It's always been a rocky beach. So if you're looking for a private island that has the powdery, soft sand, which I'm told Half Moon Cay has, I haven't been there yet, but that's what my husband tells me who's been. If you're looking for that kind of sand, this is not the island for you. It's not that. And when you walked into the waterline, it's very rocky. And it just seemed like it was even more so because I think there had been quite a bit of erosion of the sand along the shoreline. Otherwise, you know, we just kind of hung out on the beach. They do an island barbecue lunch. Nothing really super special, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs. It's any day when you're not at work on an island, hey, is a great day, right?
Yep.
But in comparison to other cruise lines, private islands, and what you're starting to see coming out with from a private island perspective with MSC's brand new island and what Royal's doing with their islands, it's really time, I think, for Princess to step it up.
Yeah, we actually passed you. We were going back to Miami from Nassau, and you were like probably just circling the Bahamas waiting to go to Princess Cay the next day. And we were probably like, I don't know, maybe 2,000 feet apart from, I was on Norwegian Sky. And you
right.
were, and I was trying to text you and Scott, but I guess you had your phone off or something. But I was like, oh
yeah.
My gosh, we're so
yeah.
close.
I know. I wish I would have seen that. Yeah, we chose not to do unlimited internet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wasn't actually online when you were texting me about that. But yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been cool.
So you made your way back. Actually, you know what? Let's. One thing I didn't ask earlier, the smoking situation in the casino. How was that?
Don't really know, because we actually did not set foot at all in the casino on this cruise. And I was trying to remember here, looking at the deck plan. We didn't actually go into the casino, and the times that we were in the piazza area on that deck, deck six, I don't recall noticing any cigarette smoke, you know, smell in the piazza area on that deck.
Did you get any drink packages on this ship?
The only thing that we did is the classic soda package for this cruise. So that gets you, you know, pop and smoothies, not milkshakes, though, not coffee, freshly squeezed fruit juices. Yeah. So we did not do any alcoholic beverage package for this cruise. So the few that we did, we just paid, you know, a la carte for.
So you make your way back to Port Everglades. How was debark?
Debark was good. We I think we had luggage tags or disembarkation tags for about 7:20 or so, but we decided, we were just going to kind of linger a little bit longer. So we walked off the ship about 8:15 and walked right to customs, and the global entry line was actually open, which it has never been open in the times we've been since we've had global entry, but it was actually open. So we walked through that quite quickly, had a little bit of congestion trying to get out of the port in our lift to get to the airport, but we were still to the airport by 9 o'clock, so it was pretty efficient.
A couple of questions here. Any noticeable differences? You mentioned that the Take 5 was new for this one. I know that looking at the deck plans and being on that Lido deck, it looks like the Seawalk is reconfigured.
Right. So on the older class ships, you had on one side, you'd had the Seawalk, and it would extend out off the side on the side of the ship. And there were cabins that were all that you could see from the Seawalk. And then on the other side was the Sea View Bar. So that's how it was structured on the other ship. So with this ship, they decided to take the Sea View Bar and take it off the side and move it into the middle of the deck, and actually greatly expand it. It's a much larger bar than what it is on the other ships. And what that allowed them to do then is just basically to add some additional seating areas in that area. And then on the side where the Seawalk is, there is still, you can still look through the glass, you know, sections on the floor and look down to the promenade deck and see the ocean water. So they tweak that a bit in comparison. In terms of, like, so obviously there's the new specialty dining I mentioned, Bistro Sur La Mer. They did, they redesigned the main pool areas. They added an infinity pool close to an infinity pool in the aft of the ship. And that was awesome. We did spend some time in the infinity pool, and that's a very nice addition. So again, notice, you know, responding to the criticism of not having enough pool type area space on the ship, that was good. I think the two biggest things that, in comparison to the past ships, that people have missed about this ship is, one, there's no crooner's bar, and that's where you would have the piano player perform. So that's a big absence on this ship. And then there's not a wheelhouse bar. So there is a bar that's located on the outside next to the Crown Grill, but they just simply call it the Crown Grill Bar. And it's a wide open space. On previous ships, the wheelhouse bar would be near Crown Grill, and it would be more enclosed, dark woods, nautical theme. Wheelhouse name. And that's where they would do on sea days the pub lunch. So if you're familiar with Princess cruising on Princess, you'll know that's a very popular thing. They do a complimentary pub lunch on sea days. They didn't offer it on our cruise, but of course that could have just been because it was only a 3-day cruise. I honestly don't know if they're going to do the pub lunch on this ship, and where'd they do it, because this wide open Crown Grill bar just doesn't seem like a great space to do that. So I don't know. Maybe they're not going to offer the pub lunch on this ship. I'm not sure. But those are a couple of the big differences that people have commented, I think, most prevalently on in comparison to, you know, her sister ships.
Any first time tips to offer anyone sailing Sky Princess?
I would say, that if you're a fan of just being able to relax and enjoy the promenade deck, even though it's definitely not, you know, as expansive as you have on past ships, there is, you can find those kind of those classic sort of wood steamer recliner type chairs in the aft of the ship. We stumbled across them like the very last day, just kind of walking around on deck seven promenade, the corners, each of the corners on the aft of the ship. We said, oh, here's where those chairs are with the nice blue cushions and the footstools. Now one side of the ship, I think it's the port side, is the smoking section. So if you're not a smoker, you have to go only on the other side, but that's where we found some of those chairs that we've enjoyed on past cruises. The other thing that we discovered is that when you do the whole medallion class thing, there's an app that they encourage you to download on your phone. But what we discovered is that in the past, there's been what Princess has used called the concierge site through just a web browser on your phone. So not an app, but just through the browser. And we discovered that site was actually still working and could actually be a little bit easier to look up some things and do some things than in the actual app itself. So I'm not sure if that's just a transition period and they're going to discontinue that concierge browser site, but we discovered that it was actually still working, which was kind of a surprise. So if you've used that in the past and like that, you might try that.
Chris, I didn't ask you, but with the Ocean Medallion and the device you had on, did you take part in ordering drinks from the phone and have them delivered to you?
We actually did try that out. And you want to do that because the first time that you do that on the app, your drink is free up to, I think, I don't know, $12.50. So don't miss out your opportunity to get a free drink. Definitely want to do that. So Scott tried it while we were on our balcony. So he had, a Mai Tai delivered to the stateroom that he enjoyed on our balcony. And then when we were at the infinity pool, we were by the Wakeview bar, but I was looking at the drink menu from, I think, the Seaview bar, and there was a drink that was offered on that bar's menu that I wanted to try. And so I did the app ordering for that and brought it right to me at poolside. So very that worked. Cool. Yeah, that worked. That was fun. Worked out pretty well. And like I said, the first time you order a drink through the app, it's free.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise?
I have to definitely say our cabin, because we just really enjoyed the mini suite, the location of it on the Lido deck, that balcony that we had was just absolutely amazing. So that was definitely certainly one of the highlights.
All right, we've been talking with Kristen about her 3-night inaugural cruise on Princess Cruises Sky Princess. Kristen, I appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, no problem.
Doug, what do you have it set on? Is it on dynamic or? And this is oh boy, oh wow. In a world where a dangerous game of cat and mouse is played, a new wind was about to blow. Doug Parker developed CruiseRadio.net.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at CruiseRadio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.